Okay, we're good to go. I wanted a little bit to talk about, to sort of recap a drop and then talk about Yanayim a bit. This whole Brice, this whole memory of Chazal over here has been about all of the different Nevi'im and so on that try to reduce Torah to more common denominator. And it went from, in reverse order, from Tayag to 11, 6, 3, and 1, and so on. That's been the progression over here. So I want to explain a little bit, maybe, what's the mahalach in reducing it? It's true, as like he says, that it's, you know, they retain the general form, and it's a big chiddush that you can actually take it and within six, like the mashal we gave with a few lines on a drawing, you can make it tamtzis and so on and so forth. But I'd like to try a little bit to understand what the point of it is. There's a very interesting halacha in Hilchas Tkiya Shaifa, which is that the Shaifa has to be blown derech havarasei. It says vavartem, that dafke derech havarasei. It means the different halachas in what it means, but one of the things that it means is the narrow path has to be a shaifa starts with a narrow path and goes out to a broader. And if you have the Gemara says if you mahapich it, it's not good. And then the Gemara says even if it's hirchiv asakotze v'kitze tzarochav. My time in Krav Masa, my master of Avarta, Derech Avrosabina. So there's a special halacha that you need to have it going in the way that that it goes. Now, normally, this type of halacha is a type of halacha that is shayach to the Tzura of the Shaifer. That's Havcha Kituna. One assumes is something that it's not exactly the tzura. If you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch brings it at the end of a siman where he talks about what happens if you mess up the tkiyas. If you put in a tkiya that doesn't belong there, if you put one long tkiya, then you cut it in half. It's really, really a siman that deals with Hilchis Maisat Tkiyah. It's nothing to do with Tzura Sashayf. There is a siman that deals with Tzura Sashayf, Dibik Shiva Shayf, and all the rest of what it deals with. And it says that if he blows from the Rochav to the Katsa, you need to have, it's not good because you need to have Derech HaVarasim. So, and they bring also the Mishavur brings the Remis. From the pasuk, it says mina meitza karasi ka anani ba merchav ka. So the there's sort of a din. It's the kitzas arochav and hirchavas akotza. One seems to understand is not a halacha in the tsuras hashefer, rather it's a halacha in the maisit kia. That the maisit kia has to be from the from the kotze through the racha. So try to understand a little bit why that has to do with the maisit kia rather than the tzuras hashefer, or at least what role it has. So there's the understanding of min ha-meitza karasi ka namli b'merchav ka, that there's an akuda, there are like two poles in the tefisa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a pole of Sheirish, and there's a pole of Mercha. It says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it says in Bereishis itself, Rashi says, in Bereishis itself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had included all the Mamarim of that will be. You know, all the Nevroim were already included in the Pe'ula in the first day, and each one waited for its own day to come out. So, Mitzad the Sheirish, things come down to one Sheirish. Mitzad the appearance, things are Misrachi. We mentioned once there's a Chazal that says on a pasuk. It says Kvoid Elokim Hasta Davar, Kvoid Malachim Chakor Davar. So Chazal darshan on the first parasha of Bereishis, which with a Kvoid Elokim is Hasta Davar, and the Hemshich is the Kvoid Malachim Chakor Davar. The Pashta sense of the Chakor Davar is the revelation of it. In other words, to sort of talk about it, discuss it, look into it, and so on, to sort of nosy around and see things. And the Hasta Davar is not. The truth is, there's a deeper Nikud as well. When you chayk of a Dairish, you are marve protein. So let's give a marshal. Let's say you see somebody suspicious looking in the middle of the night, sort of slinking down an alley. So that picture is a picture that sets off an alarm. If you grab hold of the fellow and you search his pockets, and he's got all sorts of strange things, like little picks and, you know, and all sorts of instruments, he's got a bag with all sorts of things that don't seem to belong to him, and so on and so forth, you question him, you interrogate him. Chakiris and drishas bring out information that has been sort of subsumed in a sort of a global form, and you bring out the prophet. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashpah and the bria, it exists in two directions and with two sets of tools to look at that. In the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifests himself in the Bria, there is a ribuy of Darkei Hashem. The Kvod Melachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria, as the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria as in Malchus Tekaifin, is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nisrabeh. We speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yesh Me Rabba Mevorach, Brocha Bim Lashon Ribui, the flowering of many different elements and sub-elements and details is a Kvod Shemayim. That revelation is a Kvod Shemayim, and it's a Kvod Shemayim of the type that Chazal described as Ribu Revav and Malachim, and in the myriad of different inyanim, that's the Kvoid Malachim Chakor Davar. So the Drish of a Chakira, the bringing of flesh and flushing out all the ribui of Hashpas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an element of Kvod Shemayim. That's mitzad where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia onto. But since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad, and when you note, the more you note the many different Hashpas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more you seem to have you begin to fixate on the Ribui Shabo, you need at some point, or every so often, to trace everything back to the Sheirish HaEchad. When you have a religious fellow having a dialogue with an academic / intellectual fellow, one of the statements will be, The intellectual fellow will tell the religious fellow, you know, your view of the world is way too simple. The world is much, much more complex than you imagine it on every level, whether it's science, whether it's human nature, whether it's history and human interaction. That's kind of the complaint of the intellectual against the religious. You're saying it's all God. Well, if you would understand, it's not one thing. What's happening is not one thing. What's happening is many things. So the many is seen as the steerer to the one, in the way in which, in a primitive way, Avodah Zarah was seen as the steerer of one. Avraham Avinu's colleagues, let's call them, we can put words in their mouth and say, listen, Avraham, I mean, open your eyes. There's heat and cold. Heat and cold are opposites, and they're both crucial elements of the world. There is a sun and a moon, and they chase each other. Each one is there when the other is not there. You have so many different things in the world. How can you worship one God when, if you open up your eyes, you realize there are many gods? That is the complaint of the person who's looking at the end product. And that's why the Rambam explained that earlier over the Avodah Zarah, very much, they felt that since all of these details are expressions of godliness, so each detail should be oimid l'shevach v'tnatzmo. Each detail should generate a certain shevach. So in the ribui of Dvarim, the Vald says a very famous Marabu Masach Hashem versus Magodlo Masach Hashem. Ribu means many, Godlo means one big unit. And Shabbos we say Magodlo Masach Hashem, and on the weekdays we say Marabu Masach Hashem. Rak upon him, in the big picture, bringing back the myriad in Yanim to their Sheirish is the single most important avoda in terms of the Metak and the Bria. From Bereishis onwards, there's a flow of Shefa, of Ribui into the world. Every so often, we have to look back and focus, instead of on the Ribui HaPratim, focus on the on the sherish of it, on the common sherish of it. The two poles are called Soros and Rochav. In other words, min ha-meitza karosi ka nani ba-merachav ka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts as a nekuda and radiates out to a harchava. That's the real way of going about it. And that's why the Havara Shefa, it's not just that's what the Shefa looks like. You have a din like that, Derech Gidulo, in different Lulav and so on. Here it's much deeper than that. Here it's a halacha mitzad. What are you doing? In Shefa, you are retracing the hashba as the going from the tsarus to the rachava. When we hear a koil, we need to understand the koil comes from a point of the mamadaka and radiates out, and that's where it trumpets into a koil. That's part of the mos. So there's an avoda of taking the ribui anafim and bringing back to the sheirish. The union of emuna.
So just can you explain again? I'm still sure. Not clear how the koil fits into this from the nekuda to the hashba.
Right now, ad kan we have that in the shefa, the tsura of the tkiya of the kol coming out is from a point radiating outwards. You must start with a point and radiate outwards. That's as far as the tsura of the shefa. We'll talk in a little bit about the etzim teichen of the tkiya. But right now I was focusing on the tzur of the shayfa. Emuna in general, or in the siv emuna over here, Emuna is the process of tracing things back to the Shevish. Whether Emuna means, when Emuna means loyalty, like you said, that's the pshat is, I came from point X, I've gone far, but I still see myself connected to the Shevish. If somebody trusted me with task A, and I've gone overseas and I'm involved in 100 things, and even though I've branched out, I still see myself connected to the Shevish. That's in essence what Emuna is on all different levels. The Maral says that, I don't remember if we spoke it, or it's, I can't remember anymore, that the Adam has the tsura of a tree, of an inverted tree, and the shoresh is the mala, the branch of the mata. That's where the feet branch out, the feet, the hands, and the head is ki'ilu the shoresh. In the Melchama of Moshe and Amalek, it says, "Vayhi yodav emuna aboy hashemesh." Emuna meant they focused on the shoresh. They were lifted up, and they pointed. That's that when you lift up your hands upwards, you sort of point at the Shemayim with them, and reestablishing the route to the roots of going from, you know, from here there. That's the Bchinas Emuna. In the world of mitzvahs as well. Mitzvahs, it says lefikoch hirbalem teru. What's a kashbar zaksa? So lefikoch hirbalem teru mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was marve mitzvahs because it's a milah of Yisrael to have a ribuy of mitzvahs, and that is certainly very, very important. But unless a person is able to connect the ribuy of mitzvahs back to the shayrish, there's a problem here. A famous story from Kotzka, Chassid came to him and said that he had a dream last night that Kadosh Baruch Hu was talking to him. He's very, very he's shaken by it, doesn't know what it means possibly. So the Rebbe told him, don't worry, you know, if you sit and think about it all day long, so that's what they dream about. So he said, Rebbe, I'm so busy doing mitzvahs myself all day, I don't have time to think about Kadosh Baruch Hu. The reducing Torah back, The tracing the pyramid back to its point is an avoda of emuna of reconnecting it. And that's why when you've got it on one point, it's called tzadik emunasa yichya, because it sort of traces everything back. Emuna is the mitzvah of tracing things back. I want to refer back to what you mentioned, Peter, about where the clay and so on. There's a the Shalach Kodesh brings a sefer called Avodas HaKodesh. The Avodas HaKodesh was written by Meir Gabay. He was a Rebbe of the Maral. He wasn't literally a Rebbe of the Maral. He actually the Maral holds him to be a Rebbe. He lived before. But his derech in Kabbalah and so on was something that Maral was yonik from. What we have one sefer called Avodas HaKodesh, which is kind of an integrated sefer of Shitas, of Deus, I guess call it, and Kabbalah Dik. It's sort of on the fault line between Kabbalah and Achshava, so to speak. It's accessible. It's not a case of sefer that's been reprinted. He wrote a few more false parts, wrote of Tolas Yaakov, which is Kavanis, but less kind of more Kabbalistic and so on. But in Avodas HaKodesh, in the Shalok quotes him at great length, he goes on the Pasuk of Achas Dibe Lekim Shtayim Zushamanu. Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke once, and we heard it twice. So he says the following. He says that in Har Sinai, Kol and Dibur came together as one. There, if you are Chas v'Shalom Mafri between Kol and Dibur, that's called Ktsitsa v'Netiyas. That's a type of the Kvira, so to speak, or whatever you want, that is big, big, is a terrible inyan, and a person, the person's avoda is to see to it that he that he does not. There's no dibur without a kol. There's no kol without a dibur. The inyan of it, mitzad the panimius, in other words, mitzad the understanding of it is, our first level of hashpah is dibur. As long as things are in our mind, they rest comfortably in our mind, they go no place, influence nobody, and have no hashpah. Maisa is a hashpah, but the first, the shorosh of all hashpah is dibur. Dibur comes in a very, very interesting way. Dibur consists of two elements sitting on top of each other. You have diburim on a coil. That's the way it's set up. It could have been different. Let's give an example. In Maisa, we have a hechetimtza, where a drill is a drill and has many bits. We don't have that set up with our hands. Our hands are both the strength and they do the punching. Yes, you know, yes, you can separate the muscle, dissect them out, and so on and so forth. But in our tefis of it, it's very different than koil and dibur. In koil and dibur, you have a hetimtza that the koil does not contain any hischalkus, doesn't contain any details. When you hear somebody crying, when you hear somebody laughing, they are kolos. They suggest an entirety of experience, happiness of sins. Diburim carry themselves pratim, and you take the coil and you really bring out the pratim. So Adam as a mashpia carries himself also the two together. We are turned off. Let's look at when you have a period between coil and dibur. It goes in two directions. If you have a kid crying, and he comes in crying, and you desperately ask him, why are you crying? What's the problem? What's it all about? It doesn't, his crying denotes a sadness, but unless he's able to put it into burim, then you can't, if you're not able to bring it out, in Diburim, it hasn't yet impacted this world. This world is a world of pratim and of ribui, and a general sense of sadness is not, it doesn't go. I don't know what to do for you if you're just crying and I don't get the details. On the other hand, if we feel a certain dissonance between what the person is saying and the coil, the person is talking, is the words are good, but I don't hear the coil backing up what he's saying, the details. So I feel that that's also, one feels that's also not genuine. I remember that the Yerushalmis, at least the Midas, were notorious for not being very emotional people. They were sort of seen as being very cold-blooded and, you know, made very good people, but still cold blooded. So when it became a chassan, I was walking down the steps with a friend of mine, and a Yishami walks by, and somebody in the Yishami said, oh, mazel tov, mazel tov. And the person walking with me says in a quiet voice, he could have been Menachem Avil with the same tone. Not much difference. When there's a dissonance, we don't feel it's genuine. We feel it's Menasof of the chutz, if it's coming when it's coming from the lip outwards. The surahs Dibur of Adam, the Shlemus, we spoke a lot the last 2 times about Dibur emotion, is when the two come together. When I feel that the person's detailed descriptions are really true to source, and they're really coming from an MS that he feels. So if the person speaks passionately about A or B or C, he's actually, his words are articulating the A, B, or C, and they're really, it's not because they're being paid to speak for an hour, they're really an articulation of what the person is experiencing. So the chibur of Koel and Dibur is a sheirishtik chibur in that transition that we spoke about between Akash Baruch and the world, between Adam and the outside world, and so on. The Tkia Shefa, if you take a look, there's an extraordinary distinction between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, the mitzvah is to be marv diburim. Kechui machem dvarim b'shuvah l'Hashem. We say vidu with 22 oisyas, to say because we are choyter with all 22 oisyas. In other words, the full range of diburim is realized through oisyas. That's why we say a litany of al chetz kefir aleph beis, because what we're saying in essence is, I am trying to spell out in as detailed manner as possible all I've done wrong. So there's a hareza meshubach the more the person talks about the problem. Rosh Hashanah, the person, we don't talk at all about chet and kapara and sleep and things like that. Those diburim hard. And the mitzvah sayyim is with tzkiyah. It's with koil and not with people. Rosh Hashanah is the sheirish of Tishrei. Yom Kippur is the 10th day, and you know, as we know, 10 is the number of distinctions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the elementary distinctions, the full complement and ribui of Darkei Pa'ulos Hashem lies in number 10. The Zohar says that Rosh Hashanah starts, when Rosh Hashanah comes, the Sierra's Viskasya, it's a hidden moment, because all Shrashim, the Shorash of Hashem Echad, the ultimate Shorash of Echad is hidden. In other words, that's Emunah to us, because by nature, roots are hidden on the ground, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only thing in the world is hidden. We can talk about it, we can believe in it, but it's not something we see, or we do see the complexity. And as I says, I'm a kippur, the moon comes out fully. In other words, it's not 14th, it's not 15th, but at 10, it's already two-thirds the way to that time. It's already, it's gone a distance from not being to being. So the voda of Hashanah and Kippur is a tikkun for that synchronization between koil and diburim. We're metakin, we start with the koil on Rosh Hashanah, and that's why we don't focus on the ribur details. We don't even talk about a Kadosh Baruch Hu's myriad accomplishments. What we ask for is the yeda kol yitzur kati yitzakur, the yom kol folk kati fa'alto, and so on. We want the entire ribur of Bria to point back to the Sheirish, the way when you hold up your hands like Moshe, we want the entire Bria to lift up their hands and bring it up Lamala. That's what we want to do. Because the Yontem of Rosh Hashanah is to take the entire Bria and to anchor it in the Koilos of HaKadosh, in the Koil. The Avodah of Yom Kippur is, once we're mamshich a koil, once we're mamshich a koil from the sheirish, then we need to make sure that it fits in every place. It's like, take a very simple mashal. When you want electricity in a house, you first bring the main power line, Without the main power line, you can have as many outlets and sockets and whatnot. Nothing's going to work. You introduce the main line, and then you go to each unit separately, to each socket or outlet or whatever, and check it, plug it in, and so on and so forth. But you always understand the relationship